this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. Join Katie, Charlie, and Tracy as they discuss the ins and outs of podcast development. Listen as they talk about what you need to make a podcast, how to get started, and all the other behind-the-scenes magic.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. I'm here today with our two behind the scenes, although sometimes they're in front of the scene, podcast editors, Katie and Charlie.
Yo.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
We're going to talk about how the sausage gets made. And the sausage in this case is a podcast, because that would be extremely weird if our podcast is usually about books and reading. And then suddenly we were like, have you ever made sausage? So anyway, today we're going to talk about what it takes to make a podcast.
Also, I was looking up some stats and all this information beforehand, and as of this moment, we have released 100 episodes exactly of the podcast.
This is the 100th one?
No, this will be the 101st or 102nd episode. So this can be a belated 100th episode spectacular of how the sausage is made.
That sausage spectacular.
That's the title. That's not the title.
That's not the title, but that'll be what it's saved as in the folder. We just won't tell you, but now we're telling you, listeners. So when we started this podcast, I believe it was in 2019.
It was, yes. Yeah.
We had one person who was the podcast editor. And when she left, my feeling was I had a couple of people who could probably get it. And what I thought would happen is that one of you, Katie and Charlie, would say, like, oh, I love this. And the other person would say, I hate it. And then the editor would be revealed. But it turned out that having a podcast duo team really worked well. So you both kind of learned on the fly, and that's how we got here. So I guess if... And also, like, this is even more meta. We have a new person learning the ropes here. So Charlie and Katie they have nothing to do with the recording part of this today. So
send all your hate comments to
right. Zach is the new behind the scenes guy here. What did you have to do to get started? Like, what did you have to learn?
Well, I came into this really lucky because I already had some experience with audio editing. This is the most nerdy thing I will say on record, but in undergrad, I was a member of the radio theater club at my college. Which
that sounds adorable.
It is adorable and horrifically nerdy.
It sounds like the 1940s.
It is. It was. We would record original scripts as well as vintage 1940s radio scripts complete with vintage 1940s radio ads that were left in there.
Oh, cool. Did you have someone do the sound effects?
Yeah. Oh. So we had, yes, if you were show running, because we also broadcast on air when everyone was getting dinner and nobody was listening to the radio. So we had someone run the soundboard and run the effects for whatever show they were running that day. Mm-hmm. And it was their job to edit it afterwards so that it could then go up on our podcast, which is probably defunct now. So
you know what? I'm going to look it up.
You're going to look up the Middlebury Radio Theater of Thrills and Suspense. Yes. You'll probably get a dead URL and a Facebook page that hasn't been updated in 8 years.
They have some archived episodes.
Yeah, they do.
I have a whole bunch of my archived scripts saved on my computer, but I don't know if I have any archived MP3 files. But... Well, this is a whole roundabout way of saying that I was used to audio editing before getting thrown into here and had experience with my favorite extremely technical, Charlie hates it, audio editing program called Audacity.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, it's a technical little fussy baby with 12 billion menus, which fits perfectly well with my job as cataloger, because cataloging is just 12 billion menus and tiny little fussy details. And... Audacity is wonderful and open source and not very conducive to newbies. So that's what I edit on.
Got it. And Charlie, do you also use Audacity?
I do not. I have it on my computer and I've opened it once. I do not like Audacity. I use GarageBand that's on the MacBooks, mm-hmm. Apple product. They are a lot more user-friendly, mm-hmm. and you don't have to go through 10,000 drop-down menus to get it to do something. So it's a lot more straightforward. And
I had no idea y'all use different programs. But that, listeners, if you're wanting to start a podcast, you don't have to all, even at the same location, same institution, use the same product.
Well, and importantly, these are both free products.
Yeah.
Like Audacity is open source, so you can download it and run it on Windows, Linux. I think they also have a Mac version. And with GarageBand, it comes free as part of like the Apple suite or whatever they're calling it now, mm-hmm. with your iMovies and your iPhotos.
Yeah, when you said it was free, I was like, ooh.
You have to pay out the wazoo in order to get a MacBook, but you get GarageBand.
It's on iPads too, right?
Yeah, it's on iPads. You can get it on your iPhone. Like all Apple products, you can download a version of it.
Okay.
So.
So what equipment is needed?
So if you wanted to start a podcast at the bare minimum, all you need is a recording device and a editing program.
What's a recording device?
You could, any sort of microphone.
Okay.
So for us at MLC, we use Blue Yeti microphones, which is a very good, very basic, very like, if you're starting out a podcast, go with a Blue Yeti mic. They're very good for just recording basic podcasts. You're not going to get like the, I don't know, Beyoncé level of the gritty Taylor Swift Folkmore session out of these like $50 microphones.
They're $100.
Out of these $100 microphones. Tracy has recently approved a purchase request.
They're usually the recommended beginner microphones because mm-hmm. they have really good quality, but they're really affordable compared, because you can get them to hundreds to thousands of dollars for a microphone.
Yeah, I think for a state agency doing a podcast, I think the entry-level microphone that's good and, mm-hmm. you know, easy to use is probably where we're going to stay.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll probably never make it to Beyoncé level.
And honestly, like, even for two recording a podcast in their basement, the entry-level microphone is good for the job. Like, mm-hmm. you don't spend $10 billion on this until you're pulling in $10 billion worth of money.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a spend money to make money type.
No.
Endeavor. So, yeah. It's good. And also with the Yeti mics, they're good because they can do different directional recording.
Have to tell me what that means.
So, whenever it first started, it was just two people across the table. Like our podcast.
Oh, yeah, with one shared microphone.
With one shared mic, and you could do it where it was picking up every direction in the room, or you could have it where one side was recording behind you, like the side that you were facing, and then mm-hmm. the other half of the microphone was recording the other person. So, like this one, we have it where, since we're kind of spread out, pandemic changed everything.
Yeah. It really did.
Yeah.
If you've somewhere, I'm sure we have photos of it on social media, the way that we started recording our podcast when we came back, mm-hmm. We were like 12 feet away. We had to order like super special long cables so we wouldn't breathe on each other, because you can't do this in a mask.
I have like five 20-foot USB cables in my file. It's like either 12 foot or 20 foot. It's some ridiculous number, but they're currently living in my file cabinet.
You know what? We are prepared for any emergency.
And we are using one of them today because the Yeti microphones are great and useful and beginner-friendly and also have very tiny cords.
Ah.
And they're multi-functional because we did use a Yeti mic at a recent program here.
We did?
We were recording the audio and broadcasting it, so we had it hooked up in the front of the room, and that's why when I was talking about the directional recording, mm-hmm. We had that where it was only recording in front of the mic to the presenters.
Oh, okay.
And behind it, that way you wouldn't pick up as much chatter from the audience.
Got it.
So.
I have one because when we came, I mean, the pandemic was still happening, technically. I think it's still happening. But anyway, when we came back to work, I was recording a lot of webinars and doing a lot of Zooms. And so, and I have kind of a little voice. So I have a Yeti that's permanently attached to my computer for any kind of, you know, online conversation, just because no one could hear me.
Yeah. Because, yeah. Your computer, in theory, you could record a podcast with, like, whatever microphone you've got built into your computer or your webcam. In practice, some of them aren't the world's best microphones.
Right.
Yeah. Or if you have, like, a tiny little mouse voice, or and you're the person who doesn't get told, turn your gain down, you're way too loud, then you might, more help is better. Especially, yeah. And the more help can be an external microphone like the Blue.
But when we were talking about the equipment, software also, does Audacity actually record, or is it just for editing?
It can record.
It does.
It does, yes. Oh. I mostly use it to edit, just because we have our dedicated podcast laptop with its dedicated sticker on the back. For its inventory number.
Does it record, if not in the programs you're editing?
It records it, but it's just the different files. So with the GarageBand, the file extension is .band. How does Audacity?
AUP is its file extension. But with those, you can also, we're going to get into the weeds a bit. You can go in and open that up as a project, where it would be the, like, different, all the audio tracks are synced to each other. Everything is, because right now with us, we have three people recording, so we would be recording three different audio tracks. So if you open the .band or the .aup, then it would open up the entire project, all of our audio tracks synced to each other, no jittering or anything like that. But if you wanted to, you could go in, like, go into the file and extract each audio track.
Oh, okay.
Which is what I end up doing, because I'm picky and like editing in Audacity. So I will go in and just pick the individual audio tracks and then smush them all back together in Audacity, because I'm stubborn and don't want to learn a new program.
I was going to ask, I know that and y'all have different editing styles, not just different programs, but I wanted to talk about, I wanted you each to talk about, like, what you edit out and what makes the cut, and kind of what your philosophy of podcast editing is, because I know they're different.
Yeah, they're very different.
Very different.
Would you like to go first?
I'll go first. I will admit that there are some times when it's like, I sent Tracy this gif, the gif of Elmo, but there's fire in the background.
Yes.
He's just holding his hands up, enjoying
Well, I think I had said, you know, edit out anything. And then I said, Katie, the destroyer.
Yes.
And then you sent me the Elmo on fire.
Which is GIF. One of my favorite gifs.
Yeah.
But I am definitely of the opinion that, heck yeah, we could take some stuff out. And if this is... if this ends up like being referenced later on, like a joke that continues throughout the podcast, then yeah, we'll keep it in. But like, if we have a digression somewhere, that just leaves us completely off track.
Right, meanders completely in the planet.
Yeah. Goes completely into space. Then it, I am definitely more on the side of like, oh, we can edit that out. And I think that that is really shows how I'm. If I may brag for a bit, I'm going to brag anyway.
Okay.
How I feel that I'm really good with editing for our MLC Moments, which is a program that we have in collaboration with MPB, Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We provide them exactly 5 minutes of content for them to use each week, and it has to be exactly 5 minutes of content. So with that, you have to do the editing in order to fit the time frame. So even if this is a really neat sentence, we're at 5:15, so it's getting the chop.
Somebody's got
to
go.
Somebody has to go. And this neat yet extemporaneous fact or digression, chop chop.
Katie the Destroyer.
I like to burn things.
Charlie?
Yes. So essentially, we've also had this discussion when we were first talking about how to edit these.
Mm-hmm.
Katie prefers a short, concise conversation. You mentioned you
on
like
topic, right?
On topic, and you like it to be about a certain length.
Yes.
Because you like it to listen to, like, on your way to the gym or at the gym.
Look, if you have a 30-minute podcasts are the best because that's an elliptical session. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I curate my podcasts by, this is an elliptical session.
Okay.
This one's an hour long. That means it will be elliptical plus stationary bike. Or this one's 30 minutes. This is going to be a commute podcast.
Yeah. See, that makes sense. My philosophy, my preference, as long as it's good content, it's engaging, and I do like the meandering conversations, mm-hmm. because you really get to know the personalities of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine is, as long as it's a good listen, as long as the content makes sense and they can bring it back to the topic that they were discussing, I'm good with leaving it in. My main thing at first was the vocal tics that people do. Like, you can spend a lot of time. And then once you start listening to that, it's always in
there.
You know
what? I think I'm a person.
You are.
But I also, once one of y'all mentioned it, Shelly is a big person, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear my own, but the last time I recorded with her, I noticed it. So, you know, I don't know. It's just like, get ready. I'm about to say something.
Yeah.
You know?
That's your cue. That's the cue that something good is about to come
right,
out.
Right.
So. It really is interesting editing podcasts because you very quickly learn people's vocal tics,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like what noises they make, how they speak, because
what noises they make.
And also
making a noise.
There are some people who will take a pause before going into a sentence.
Yes.
Like they are going to put their words together in a certain order, and they know what they are saying before they say their sentence. So I'll snip out that second of silence.
Right.
And then there are some people who we don't know where that sentence is going, baby, but it's going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then some people are very loud inhalers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like right before they talk.
I know someone who's a loud inhaler. I mean, I'm not going to name a name right now.
You're looking right at me when you say that.
No. I meant because you brought it up.
No. You're like, I'm not going to name a name and start motioning towards
my brain. I would completely say yes, Charlie. You're one of them.
Yeah.
But it's someone who, she's not on a lot of podcasts, but just in everyday life, I've noticed how loudly she inhales. I think she tries to cram in a lot of words with, like, just make every breath count.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Also, another interesting thing with the more you edit people, just, like, vocal intensity, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, because we started this, we were setting up, we were getting all the mics recorded, and Zach was like, Charlie, you're a little quiet. Katie, you're a little loud. Which mm-hmm. tracks?
Right.
And the more you edit people, the more it's like, okay, well, I should probably kick this person up a little bit because they have a tiny little mouse voice.
Right.
Or I
the
should.
Mice, the mice have a right to speak.
The mice do have a right to speak. We are not oppressing the mice. The mice deserve to be heard.
Right. We must amplify the mice.
Yes.
Or this person will start out a little quieter, but as the podcast goes on, they'll pick up at the end.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. Yeah.
Shelly does that.
Yes.
She does that, and I know you're listening, Shelly.
We love you, Shelly.
Or we might cut this out. She does that in person when she's presenting, too. It is an interesting. I don't think she has any idea she does it.
I don't think so either, but
it's really interesting. Yeah. People are wild.
And you, as we've done this, we've learned that not everything is automatic. Like we assume people know what we know.
Mm-hmm. They don't.
Like at one point, we had to start mentioning to people, "Do not click pens. Please do not click pens while you're talking because mm-hmm. the microphones will pick it up. If you have a loud water bottle, please don't be opening
and
closing
the floor,
it.
Put it
on the floor." There was another one.
Oh, it was hitting the table, like, in like emphatic, like, yes!
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just don't realize you're doing that until someone tells you to stop doing it.
Yes.
Right.
Or and then general stuff, like if you get tongue-tied on something, normally we just kind of go blah, and then just start at that word again.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes editing difficult.
Yes.
So I probably messed that up because I said editing weird. It makes editing difficult, so we normally have to remind people, go back to the last complete thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you have a bunch of incomplete thoughts, but it just makes editing a lot easier.
Which one of y'all edited the Beverly Cleary episode?
I think I did.
I think that was you, Charlie. Yeah.
And it's probably a good thing because Alex told this hilarious story about... the point was she loves the Ramona books because children are weird. They're
yes.
like incredibly weird little creatures. And she told this hilarious story about how she got a wig for Christmas and she wore it to church. She just thought no one would recognize her. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but
she played a foreign cousin, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Because we did talk about the Patty Duke show, which is the whole premise of the Patty Duke show is that...
Yeah.
Patty Duke's hair is curled under to be her British identical cousin and flipped out to be herself. But anyway, see, sometimes that meandering road is, necessary.
I will admit that one of the reasons why I am more... why I do end up chopping some of the meandering bits off is people will often forget to meander to the microphone.
Yeah.
Like there are some times where they will get off in their own little conversations and then turn their head away from the microphone. And I'm like, I love you both dearly. This is a conversation that I would be happy keeping in if you both face the microphone.
Yeah. But you also like, going back to like the length, you
yes.
mentioned to me before, like you do not like stopping a podcast if you have to like get out of the car.
Oh, I hate that so much.
And see, I don't mind that. Just
as
long as it's a
that.
Decent stopping point. It's like a chapter in a book. We'll continue when we get back.
So. There's one podcast. Shelley turned me on to the Celebrity Book Club Memoir
mm-hmm.
podcast, whatever. Celebrity Memoir Book Club, whatever those words
yeah.
are, which I greatly love. But some of those episodes are 1.5 hours long, so I have to listen to them while I'm cleaning.
Mm.
Because if I pause it in the middle, I'm going to forget what happened.
Yeah.
But if I'm cleaning, I can easily clean for 1.5 hours.
So how long, let's say you recorded an episode and it was about 1.5 hours. And obviously that's too long. How long is the editing process? How long does it take you to get through an episode?
It depends on a lot of factors.
How many times people go...
Well, after a certain while, you realize that that's a losing battle.
Yeah.
But just what's the turnaround time? Because there are some podcasts that we have to have a relatively quick turnaround time
mm-hmm.
for. Like, for example, we, Charlie and Elizabeth, recorded a podcast about the Magnolia Book Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I then immediately went into editing mode, get that one done as quickly as possible because the Magnolia Book Awards have a set deadline.
Right.
You will not be voting on those book awards after a certain time period. But there are some other podcasts that you can be a bit more leisurely editing
mm-hmm.
and just go into it here and there because it's not a podcast focused on a specific thing. It's a bit more general topic.
Right.
And if... On those ones with the very quick turnaround, I will admit I am not as Elmo with the fire behind it as I could be because perfect is the enemy of done. And sometimes you just need things to be done.
Yeah. And then once you start, it really depends on how well the conversation went because sometimes there are parts that you have to cut out
mm-hmm.
and it's may take a little bit to find the best point to actually get it cut.
Right.
So that you're not, like, stopping in a weird mid-syllable thing. So you're, like, someone's talking, and they're like, well, and then it goes into, like, a weird segue.
Yeah.
It just depends on how many of those there are.
Yeah. And I know that for me, I'll do at least 2 rounds of editing because the first round will be cutting out cutting out, like, if we have to take a pause because the intercom turns on or... Let me start over the sentence again, because if I cut out what seems like a needless digression and then like 30 minutes later someone references the needless digression, cool, I either have to cut out that reference or keep the said digression in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you can only determine once you've listened to the podcast through entirely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I will say this about going back to Audacity versus GarageBand. GarageBand is a non-destructive editing software, so you can go back in and get to the original file. So even after you cut something and delete it, it's still available in there. You just have to know how to get to it. Is Audacity, is that like once you delete, like cut it from there, is it gone for good?
Well, you can, it's got an undo function, so it remembers up to a certain point.
Yeah.
But I just have 50 billion different save files where it's like podcast 10 minutes, which is I've edited the first 10 minutes of this, podcast 25 minutes, I've edited the first 25 minutes of this.
Oh.
And then I just go in, delete the older ones after I export. But it does remember a bit. It does remember what you've done if your computer stops working. Because for some stupid reason, Audacity stopped working on me the other day and I had to force quit it. And then it was like, hey, we remembered up to the point that you edited. You should probably save this file very quickly.
Okay.
And I went, darn tootin', I will.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's like the temporary save files
yeah.
on like Word
yeah.
and Excel. So, okay. That's my answer.
Was it how long it takes to edit?
Yes.
The answer is it depends.
Yeah, it depends.
Did you answer that question?
Oh, no, her answer to my question. Yeah, it just kind of depends. Mine, I go through and try to do all the stuff at once as I'm editing it. So if it's a hour long, it may take an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
So it's mainly just trying to listen and get the levels right and cut out any unpleasant things.
Yeah, sometimes there's,
sometimes the digressions are a little too wild.
Yeah, they get a little wild or... sometimes I just can't help myself and I'm like, hey, edit this out later. And then I just go forth with my story because it really is a conversation we're having. And, you know, we all get along and like talking to each other. So it's hard to just like turn off the burning desire to tell you this story that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. That's why I like to leave all of that kind of stuff in as much as possible
mm-hmm.
because it's their personalities and you get to see it. It makes the listener, in a way, feel like they're listening to friends have a conversation, which they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a, like, weird dissertation on some specific topic. So.
Right. I just made the sound with my mouth. I'm sorry. I was thinking of we had a podcast once where people were talking about a genre of book that they all really like. And the conversation, because it was about horror, and the conversation was completely unsalvageable. The horror novels are about gross, creepy things, right? Well, I don't want to hear about that on a state agency's podcast. So we tried, y'all tried, you the editor of it?
Mm-hmm.
You tried, you know, like, You cut out some of it, and then I was like, I can't, no. I'm glad they had a good time talking about books they like. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't lost that they spent this time together and learned about some new books that they can read.
Yeah.
But it just was a little too heavy for what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, and that's something that you can go into a podcast having an idea about what your audience will be and then tailor your content to that audience. But if you're not a state agency, then you might end up doing some shifts because, oh, this episode was really receptive or, oh, this episode did really well. But because we are a state agency, there are some certain limitations on what we can do.
Right.
Like, for example, our Dark Academia episode blew up in numbers.
Really?
That one had really good numbers.
Yeah.
And it was about a TikTok trend.
Mm-hmm.
There are some TikTok trends that we cannot talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
We cannot even have a state agency TikTok. So there are things that we, again, it's curating for your audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's recognizing what limitations you have, we wish to, we cannot talk about XYZ, but we also, even if we could, we might not want to talk about XYZ because of the audience we're trying to curate or the image we're trying to promote.
Right. And that goes to talking about content. Where does that come from when you decide what podcasts are going to be about?
A couple of different places. One is we do like to do a survey of interest with the staff that would be interested in doing podcasts. And then if we can see patterns of what they like, what they're like to read or what they like to do as hobbies, which I think a hobby episode of Librarians would be interesting.
That would be, yeah.
So,
yeah, let's write that down. Here, I'll click my pen.
Directly into the microphone.
Into the microphone.
Podcasting ASMR.
Yeah.
So we like to try to keep up with the trends that the staff like to do. But then a lot of mine, if I'm on social media and I see some stuff that looks like it would be interesting, kind of try to figure a way out that it could work as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So there's one that I want to do in the future that would be like a he's a 10, but, and it's about authors or books that you love, but there's this one thing that's why? Why do you have to do this?
Oh, yeah. Like the end of The Maid.
Yes.
I'm still mad about it. I've mentioned it on
you're going to die
every
about that
episode,
book.
Every podcast episode, somehow I'm like, P.S. The end of The Maid was bogus.
Yeah. Another thing is just because we are a state agency and because it is our goal to help promote literacy and libraries around Mississippi, some of our podcasts will tie into just that. For example, we had a really good, really long conversation to the point where it had to be two episodes about libraries that went fine free.
Mm-hmm.
And about why did they do that? What impact has it had on their budgets and circulation stats? We've had episodes about bookmobiles. We've had episodes about famous Mississippi authors, mm-hmm. or Mississippi literary, cool Mississippi literary things like the book festival, mm-hmm. like the Magnolia Book Awards. So it's an equal part of what are some neat, cool, relevant, hip things that people will want to listen to? And what are some cool, neat, relevant, hip things happening in the wider world of Mississippi and Mississippi libraries? Go listen to our Find Free episode. I really liked that one.
we did try to balance it exactly with we will have one book podcast, one library related one, and then one wild card. What was the third category?
I think it was other, because I remember when we were talking about that, we like to release one on the first Wednesday and third Wednesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through and made a Word document that had all those listed, and then I signed book podcast is gonna, or the library podcast would be A, book mm-hmm. podcast would be B, other would be C. And I alternated it, and then I tried to, it felt very forced when we were doing
yes.
this.
Yes. Yeah. It, I think I meant that more as a goal instead of a rule.
Yeah.
But it was a good idea at the time. But then we just got stymied by oh my gosh, we don't have any other library content.
Yeah.
But and then, it just, it's mostly about reading.
And I love our talking to other libraries podcasts, mm-hmm. but that does also mean we have to work with their schedule, and we have to possibly get them a microphone,
right.
and we have to, there are a lot of extra steps than, hey, Tracy, Shelley, y'all want to record a podcast? Get down to the small meeting room. So you have to do a lot more planning, which is good. Planning is good. We like planning. But also, if you have to scrap an episode last minute, sometimes you don't have time for planning.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Y'all just tell me what I'm supposed to talk about, and I will come down here and do it.
It's an exercise in improv, so
yeah,
works well.
And I will say that it is a good thing that the longer we've done this, the more staff members we've gotten to know who we know are comfortable with being thrown to the metaphorical wolves mm-hmm. at the last minute.
Yeah, there are people who need more time to prep. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't. I just need about 10 minutes with my Goodreads list mm-hmm. to go look for whatever type of book we're talking about, or what have I read recently, or that's basically, again, 10 minutes. Which is why there's a lot of meandering, because something will remind me of something that happened in 10th grade, and then I'm winding down a road. Some folks come like super prepared. Shelley always has notes, and she gives a really good summary of the book.
That bookish podcast episode, behind the scenes, Shelley comes in with these really wonderful, like, printed out pages of notes, super details. And I've got my ratty little notebook with, like, the name, the podcast name, and the two hosts' name, and, like, one fun fact for each podcast written on there. So you have varying levels of how prepared are we?
Yes.
Or how prepared do we feel?
I think in the Dark Academia one, and I don't know if it got edited out, but Riley came with nothing. And I couldn't help but say, you brought nothing. That's amazing. But she's also half my age. So I thought, well, I don't know, maybe the youngs can just keep all that in their heads. But yes, so Shelley and I had, like two note cards. Shelley has 10 pieces of paper and Riley has nothing. I thought that was an interesting, way that we prepared for that.
So whatever your preparation style is, it's valid.
Yeah.
Just make sure you remember to say the author's name after you say the title of a book.
And it's also interesting when you start bringing in people for like a one-off, like if we have library directors or someone come in mm-hmm. or new staff come in, because again, you have to go back to that learning curve of how are they going to sound, because people have specific traits when they talk. So some of us stay the same volume the whole time. Mm-hmm. Some of us will start off really quiet and then they'll basically almost bust the speakers when they start talking and getting excited.
Some people forget that we need you to face the microphone when you're talking.
Yeah.
Those people did not take eighth grade theater arts where you have to face the audience at all times. You have to remember that you're on stage.
Project.
And that's one thing I do like about like how we have to set it up now, where it's a little more spread out, but it's a little more in a triangle, so you're not having to turn your head all the way to the left. So mm-hmm. if you start getting into like four or five people in one conversation and you're trying to spread them out, there's going to be someone that they're going to have to be turning their head whenever they're like start to look at them to talk.
And I can imagine that is even more of a challenge when you have four or five people and trying to keep all of their levels so it doesn't sound like someone's in a hole or busting your eardrums.
Especially whenever the tracks get off track.
God, that's the worst.
So what does that mean?
Like, there's this thing where you can click that's supposed to keep them from drifting, so it keeps them in time with each other. They all start at the exact same point. They all end at the exact same point, and it keeps your... So if you're talking, you may be able to hear your voice slightly on my track, even mm-hmm. though it's not on... but if it gets off a little bit, it's this weird, like, reverb, echoey, like, ethereal sound. Mm-hmm. And whenever that happens, you have to kind of go in and start dropping everybody else's audio track down to zero.
Okay.
Or really, like, the negatives. But, like, you drop it to where you're muted and only have the person talking. But then whenever people start, like, talking over each other mm-hmm. and laughing and everything, making little comments, it gets this weird, like... outer, like, other world type sound.
And yeah, that happens once in a blue moon, but the blue moons have happened enough to just annoy us.
Yeah. At some point it's going to be, let's just re-record that, because
right.
that was rough.
Some point it's just like, can we snip this whole section out just so I don't have to deal with editing this?
Yeah, that's when you have the destroyer mode comes in handy. Mm-hmm. Just cut all that out.
Yeah.
Is this salvageable or am I just annoyed?
Or is it both? I mean, it could be both.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, because I've never edited a podcast, but I do listen to them before they go out. And I apologize because I never listen to it the moment you send it to me. And I understand that would be really helpful. And I usually need a nudge. So I appreciate you nudging me. to listen to things.
I literally just emailed Charlie earlier today being like, I sent Tracy this podcast. She wasn't here on Friday. We are going to need to nudge her later in the week.
Yes, I started it. I did start that one, and then I was out on Friday.
Right.
So, the only thing that I've ever had to say, like, that one episode where things got a little icky, and then Charlie, I'm going to call you out on
the last one.
On the last one.
Oh my gosh.
One.
Yeah.
When you listened to it, did you hear what I was talking about?
I did. I don't know what, I guess I was just feeling saucy that day.
So, you know, whoever is editing also does the
Welcome
intro.
Welcome to Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission, blah, 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 blah.
Right. And so on this last one, which episode was that?
Bookish Podcast.
Was it Bookish Podcast? Okay. Charlie had a little zing to his voice. He was like, hey, this is Charlie. What are y'all doing? It was like Chris in the Morning on Northern Exposure, if you've ever watched that show. It's on Prime now. Anyway, you should watch it. It's great. But I was like, you know, Charlie, you sound kind of weird. It wasn't unpleasant. It was just completely different than you ever sound.
Yeah.
Like you were channeling something.
It was normally, I guess it sounds almost like a dull version of an NPR voice.
Yeah.
Where you're just very monotone. And that one, it was more of like a jazzy episode.
You were hosting the jazz hour.
Yes.
For
all those cool cats.
But you could, listen, you could turn jazzy all the time.
Yeah.
And that would also be fine.
I don't know if I have the energy to be jazzy all the time.
Well, I'm not going to let Charlie be the only one thrown under the bus because I had to have an intro re-recorded as well. And Charlie had to re-record it because I was so congested.
Yes.
That Tracy was like, girl, you sound horrible. Can Charlie re-record that intro? Because it was just, welcome to Stacks and Stories.
It was. And did I send you that link to that song?
You did, yes. Yeah. The I've Got a Cold Up My Nose or whatever it was.
The song is called I've Got a Code by Doze.
Oh.
So I would sing it, but maybe I'll sing it and make Zach cut it out. Anyway, it goes, I've got a code by doze. Oh, I've got a code by doze. Because she's singing it like she has a cold.
Yeah.
So anyway, it wasn't horrible, so you don't have to cut it. Well, is there anything else you want people to know about the process? How the sausage is made?
I have a fun behind-the-scenes stats.
Okay.
Because I looked up our stats for January of 2024.
Sure.
And our top countries for downloads.
This is my favorite
This is your
bit.
Favorite
I
bit.
I love hearing about this.
So our top country for downloads was the United States.
What shocking.
What a shock. We had 101 downloads in January 2024, which is pretty decent for a relatively small-scale state agency podcast.
Yeah.
85 of those were from the U.S. 6 of them were from Germany. So Germany gets the silver medal. Spreuken de Deutsch. I don't speak German. And our bronze medal, we had a tie. We had 2 downloads from Israel and 2 downloads from Japan. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Where was that one that we had like one consistent?
Belgium.
Yeah, right?
Was it Belgium?
That was probably.
For a long time.
Right, and that was. So another fun behind-the-scenes tidbit, if you are doing a podcast, you are going to have a podcast host. And the podcast host is a website or a program that you can use to upload your audio to. And they take out a lot of the legwork for costs, for distribution. And we had a previous podcast host. But there was a whole bunch of mess behind the scenes with the credit card for that one.
Mm.
And so we ended up swapping to a different podcast host.
You mean procurement card? Because
yes, procurement
we're a
state card.
Agency.
We are a state
we
agency.
Don't
we don't
cards,
have credit cards.
Just in case anyone from the auditor's office is listening.
There was a big mess with the procurement card for that one. So we had to swap to a different podcast host. And we lost our Belgium listeners somewhere in the transition.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but we picked up 6 Germans.
Maybe that's the some kind of standard equivalency. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 Germans
six
equals
Germans
one,
to one Belgium.
Belgian. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, podcast hosts are, there are all sorts of different ones out there. The one that we use at the moment is Podbean, which I like. They are my friends. They make things nice and simple and don't play stupid with a procurement card.
That's right.
But one of the benefits of having your podcast, of running it through a podcast host, is that you don't have to worry about podcasts or audio files, and audio files take up a lot of space.
Oh, yeah.
So you can, depending on what plan you use, you can have infinite amounts of episodes being hosted by Podbean with their more robust data servers than our dinky little website data servers. And they also do distribution.
Right. So it's available then, like
on Apple Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Podcatcher, which is the third party podcast app that I use because Google killed Google Podcasts.
So if we didn't have that, what would we have to do every month to get our podcast out?
We would have to host it ourselves.
So then that means like planting it on our
It on our own website. You can work with Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that jazz to have them distribute a podcast you're hosting yourself, but I like making the big companies do it.
Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of work, and then, you know.
And also, it would just eat up a ton of data.
Yeah.
Because we are at 100 episodes at this point. Party horn.
And each one's about 50 megabytes.
Yeah.
So that's like 5,000 megabytes?
Sure.
Math
is hard.
We don't do math over here.
And I already had to bug tech services for more space for the digital documents collection. I don't want to have to bug them for more space for the podcast.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, the documents are going to get priority over
right.
Silly talks.
The thing that the government forces us to do.
Yeah.
But also the good thing with that is all the statistics and everything is housed in one place. You don't have to do like Google Analytics or anything to get the data. Did we lose all the data from the former host?
I think we downloaded everything.
We did download everything.
Okay.
So that's it's interesting because if you go over to all of our episodes are now hosted by Podbean because we transferred them over from the former host to here. So if you go to stacksandstories.podbean.com, you will be able to see all of the episodes that we have recorded. But when you go back in the back stats, it's the episodes that we recorded pre-host transfer only have like 4 downloads, but that's just the downloads that they had on Podbean.
Yeah.
They had like multiple downloads before.
Gotcha. So those are since we've
transferred over.
From this platform that shall not be named.
I can't even remember what it was called. I remember what it was called. If you want to.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, y'all, thanks so much for exposing the secrets behind Stacks and Stories, how it's made, and I don't know what I'm saying now.
And if you care, please. Well, if you care more about like the actual books, I promise next week's episode is going to be not next week, next episode. I promise next episode is going to be a lot less. Here is how we edit audio.
Well, this is really helpful, though, so if a library wants to start a podcast, just kind of knowing, I mean, you can find out information, obviously, on the internet about how things are done, but having staff here, at least until Katie leaves us in 3 days.
Later, guys.
but having staff here at the commission that can help a public library who wants to start a podcast, they could start with this episode and then, you know, call someone to say like, hey, when you said this, what did you mean by that? Or can you walk me through this? I'm using GarageBand. That would be really helpful.
Well, it's nice chatting with y'all.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. We hope you will tune in next time, and we encourage you to visit your local public library often.